And believers in extraterrestrial civilizations often cite the zoo hypothesis, or what Star Trek fans would call the prime directive. This idea says that aliens are already aware of our existence, but are keeping themselves hidden from us until we reach a certain level of maturity. Do you think it's possible that aliens are already aware of our existence, but are choosing to, you know, not make themselves known to us?
I certainly think the prime directive makes a good literary device for TV or for print. I can't understand, or I'm not sure I'd guess the psychology of ETs. The obvious counter-argument is, however, that it only takes one. It only takes one civilization that decides not to obey the prime directive or does not even develop a prime directive for the zoo hypothesis to fall apart. The other possibility, then, is the zoo hypothesis only works if there are a very small number of intelligent civilizations in the galaxy, and maybe that's one of the answers.
And, of course, there are going to be people who read your article who think that aliens have already visited Earth, they've made contact with humans in the form of UFO sightings and abductions. Do you think there's any validity to any of these claims? Might it be possible we don't need to make any efforts to signal other civilizations because they're already here and, at least to some extent, involved in our affairs?
That is clearly an extraordinary claim, requires extraordinary evidence. And it's perhaps analogous, I believe, a brief mention in the article of this recent claim of faster-than-light-speed neutrinos. And from what I've read of it, even the team that put it out, they're a bit cautious about the conclusion, but they put the data out for the larger scientific community to examine precisely because they realize it's such an extraordinary claim and it's really going to require some extraordinary evidence or lots of evidence to support this claim of faster-than-light-speed neutrinos. And this question of ETs visiting us, it has to be seen at least the same level of extraordinary claim. There simply isn't a lot of evidence. So either the ETs are very sneaky and want to keep themselves hidden, or they aren't here. And I think the simpler answer is they simply aren't here.
Seems like most of our SETI efforts right now are really focused on radio surveys, but of course you talk in the article about ways that we could in the future conceivably signal other civilizations. What other types of signals should we be on the lookout for?
I think this is actually one of the very important things about science, and it's been shown true certainly in astronomy time and time again, that the most important way to make advances is to continue to push on technology, continue to build larger telescopes, because as we do so, every time we build a new, more capable telescope, there have been discoveries, and particularly when we've looked at the first time we started looking at the sky at X and gamma rays, for instance. When X-ray astronomy was first getting started, it was thought that the only source in the sky would perhaps be sun, and maybe if we got lucky, a couple of nearby stars or something like that. Whereas today, it's common to use X-ray astronomy to understand or to study not only the sun, but I believe there's been X-rays detected by reflection from the moon, nearby stars, collapsed stellar remnants, distant cores of active galaxies. So it's very much a case of, if we ever discover evidence of technological civilization, my bet is actually it's going to be a surprise, something we didn't think of, something that resulted from an improved technology or an improved way of looking at the sky. That's not to say that the current SETI programs aren't worth doing. I think that it's incredibly important, because by trying to do SETI, we might actually find something else about the universe itself, which is kind of neat, even if it isn't SETI. But it might also be the same way that by looking in the infrared for a new kind of star, we'll discover that there are this class of stars that's really weird that we can only explain them as Dyson spheres. That may very well be how we discover other civilizations.
In science fiction, there's vast variety of depictions of the aliens themselves as different kinds of creatures. But, you know, sometimes they're also depicted as biological machine hybrids or computer intelligence. There's certainly predictions about the future of our civilization. I know Ray Kurzweil talks about the singularity and eventually human consciousness being imparted onto machines and computers. Do you think if we ever do make contact with extraterrestrials, we'll be making contact with biological creatures or maybe something more analogous to machines?
An excellent question. Of course, if we look at ourselves, we have sent out the two Pioneer and the two Voyager spacecraft. The conclusion one might draw, therefore, is the first contact that another civilization will make with us is through our spacecraft. And in fact, I think this is also a very good motivation for continued exploration even of our own solar system. Sometimes we humans are a bit pretentious and think that we're the most important things perhaps in the solar system, but you know, another civilization, if there are other civilizations with interstellar travel, maybe they're more interested in the asteroids as mining them for minerals or for compounds. And it could very well be that we'll find evidence for ETs not by radio SETI, but by probes to our asteroid belt. This notion of a robotic explorer is certainly, all of my comments earlier about interstellar space travel were more from the sense of what would it take to send humans into interstellar space. If you want to start thinking about sending lots of interstellar probes, those could be a lot cheaper, perhaps capable enough. But again, maybe then the focus isn't so much in finding an Earth-like planet, but understanding Jovian planets or mining asteroids.
People have speculated about so-called von Neumann probes that you could send out into the galaxy that would go to star systems and find a suitable asteroid or planet, replicate themselves. You have this ever-expanding sphere outward into the galaxy of these quasi-intelligent machines, and I assume it's not altogether impossible that we might encounter something like that someday in the future.
Exactly, and that's also part of the reason why I say the asteroid belt, from the standpoint of if you're going to come into the solar system, if you're going to come into the solar system and then leave again, you have to have the energy or the fuel to break away from the sun's gravitational pull. The asteroid, or at least the main asteroid belt, and in fact the Kuiper belt might be an even better example, those are farther from the sun, so it takes less energy or less fuel to break away from the sun's gravitational pull. And it might very well be that, as you say, if there are von Neumann machines, they're far more interested in the asteroid belt or the Kuiper belt simply because they can get materials there without having to come so close to the sun and then deal with having to then break away from the sun's gravitational pull.
And of course, if they tried to come to Earth, they'd have to contend with us to at least some degree.
Sure.
That answers the questions I had, Joe, but was there anything else that you'd like to add that I did not ask you about?
I would come back to this notion of serendipity, and I think particularly given some of the perhaps the mood in which the country finds it or the apparent financial difficulty. You know, SETI sort of sounds very far out, and yet by doing some of this kind of technology development for very far out stuff, that's how we actually improve life on the planet today. The specific example, when Einstein was thinking up general relativity, he was trying to understand some pretty basic fundamental principles. And yet today, general relativity is an integral part of all of our lives because it's an important aspect of the global positioning system, or GPS. And by the same token, by doing some kinds of basic research that even though it doesn't have an immediate impact or an immediate return, over the long term, this is the kind of stuff that helps and provides the payoff. So I would stress the serendipity aspect of, I think it's important to keep looking up and keep looking out, and whether we find ETs or not, it will still be worth it.
I want to thank you for doing this interview and also for writing what I think is a really excellent article for S&T, and I expect a lot of our readers are going to find it quite interesting.
I certainly hope so, and again, it was my pleasure to do so.